This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This episode is brought to you by Ocean Thinkers, a social enterprise on a mission to inspire the next generation to learn more about our ocean and make an impact. Through events, apparel, and the membership-based Ocean Thinkers Club, this mum-led initiative is all about helping children tackle ocean conservation head on. You can shop their beautiful limited edition apparel range and join the Ocean Thinkers Club now at oceanthinkers.com.au.
Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show by Ready or Not, where two moms are trying to figure out how to make work work. I'm Lou.
And I'm Loz. Women are increasingly becoming angel investors, challenging the traditionally male-dominated tech investment landscape. In 2023, women constituted 47%, so nearly half, of angel investors, a significant rise from previous years. This shift is fostering a more inclusive investment environment and supporting female entrepreneurs in tech.
You are on a bit of a finance thing and I like it.
I know
it.
I am at the
You
moment.
Actually need to keep bringing it to me because one day I will start to be a bit more financially literate. I'm going to be an angel investor. I don't even know what the fuck that means.
What are you? Did you actually not?
Not really.
Oh, it means as in you invest in other companies.
Oh, so
you're the backer.
Because they're like, thank you for the money.
Which is great for women because it obviously means that women are making more money to be able to invest it in other companies.
That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
great
it is good.
Story.
It is
Thanks
good.
For the finance reminder.
I got you covered, girl. Don't worry.
What are we talking about today, Lozzie? Give me some follow-ups first.
Okay, so a really funny thing happened at work this week, which I'm embarrassed to admit, but because I think my brain is so mushy at the moment, which it genuinely is, we had a meeting the other day and before the meeting I said to everyone, does anyone need to go to the toilet? Has everyone gone to the toilet?
Like you're talking to CNN?
Yeah, and you know what's worse? It wasn't a team meeting. It was like an executive meeting where I was presenting. And it genuinely.
Strap in, go to the toilet now.
One guy looked at me and he was like, I think we're all good. I was like, yeah, for sure. Let's get started. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, you forgot they're in control of their own bladders.
Yeah.
That is a making work work moment.
It is.
TM, or TM that.
It is. Other things for me is I am obviously at the stage of pregnancy where I'm starting to get really restless legs. I am 34 weeks now and finding it really difficult to sleep. As you know, I'm a product obsessed person. Like when I say obsessed, I've got 1,000
oh, yeah,
products
you're a
of everything.
Dream.
I am a marketer's
too,
dream.
To be fair.
Yes. I've tried millions, well, not millions, but probably 6 different magnesium sprays. And I do want to put a recommendation out there. The Salt magnesium spray.
Salt Lab?
Yes.
Yes. It's good stuff. I've
Elite.
Got that.
It is one of the only brands that I have found that absorbs really quickly, isn't sticky and doesn't itch. Have you ever had
you know,
that?
How gross is it how it stays on your hands weird if you use a bad brand of magnesium spray? You know what I mean? It like goes all gross
well,
on your
really
hands.
I get really itchy, which they say is like a deficiency or something, but this one doesn't make me itch. So if anybody else is in the same boat as me, definitely use it. Those are my updates for this week, which is pretty bland, but there'll be more, obviously.
There'll be more. You stay tuned for more brilliant
Vermont. What are yours?
I have a few for you. I just want the record to show that last night Posey was on my boob at 10 o'clock at night while I was finishing this production schedule.
Oh, God.
And I was just thinking to myself, grow up. You're 15 months old. You've been asleep for like 2 fucking hours. Just stay asleep.
Mate, some people breastfeed until they're like 5. You're
no, but
fine.
Why is she awake again? It wasn't even 10 p.m. It was like 9:30.
My probably kids aren't going to bed until 9:30. I think you're fine.
Yeah, but she's already awake again. Grow up, I reckon, Posey. If you ever listen to this, grow up.
That poor kid.
I also mentioned in a recent episode that I'd give you a proper rundown of her starting daycare. But just for anyone out there that's feeling a bit like you have those moments where you go, I've been parenting for years now and I still have no fucking idea what I'm doing.
Welcome.
When I dropped Posey at her first day, the educators were like to me, when does she sleep? Is she on 2 naps? Is she on 1 nap? I paused for a second, couldn't quite get out my answer. And then I said, honestly, can you please tell me? Because I don't know. Whatever we're doing isn't working. The sweetheart, I was about to call her a nasty name, doesn't like to sleep. And I would take your advice. So for anyone out there that feels like I still don't fucking understand what I'm doing with parenting, me too, 2 more.
Wait on that. Can I just say, I always find it so bizarre when educators ask what is your baby's nap schedule?
Because they don't follow it anyway.
I'm like, dude, you're not going to follow it. You've got like 35 children in the room.
It's really cute that you're pretending.
Yeah.
Stop.
And it's weird you say that because I remember when I first had Sienna and I was complaining to a girlfriend. I'm like, oh my God, mate. Like, she's literally slept for like 20 minutes today, or she slept for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
And it like grated my soul.
Yeah. You were a stickler for that.
Yeah. I was a massive stickler for it. Like, it would ruin my entire life. Yeah. And then obviously as she got older and slept, and then as I had my second kid, Zave, I thought to myself, well, yeah, as if they're going to sleep.
Oh, they're not going to sleep.
It's like a
especially
group.
Zave.
Yeah. Well, he didn't fucking sleep
that's
at all.
Sweetheart.
But yeah.
So basically, just for anyone that's like, I still don't know what I'm doing. Either
Heels
do
girl.
I. I have two more for you. We slept over at Hayden's parents last night, your auntie and uncle, as you know.
Yes.
And there was quite a bit of a family vibe there, because also my sister-in-law, your cousin, was there for the night with their baby and her partner. And I slept talk in the middle of the night. I thought Posey was being stolen from me. I was on the floor, and Zave this morning goes to me, oh my God, I thought that you must have been playing with Posey up there. Thought you were running around at 1 a.m. playing with her. I went psychotic. So for anyone out there that's a bit of a sleep talker, me too, it was very scary. Hayden was terrified. And then Posey woke up once more in the middle of the night. And Hayden, the darling, always offers to put her back to bed. And he's like, should I take her back now? And I was like, yes, please. It was really dark. I wanted to stay asleep. So I was trying to like keep those calming vibes, trying to stay really sleepy.
Did you wake yourself up as you were doing it?
Yes. Yeah. That was terrifying.
Yeah.
I was on the ground with my iPad light trying to look for Posey. It was fucked up.
And were you like, what am I doing?
Yeah, eventually I'll be like to Hayden, he'll always be like, loose, it's okay. And for some reason, when I'm in those states, I get really defensive at the start. I'm like, fuck off, it's fine. And then I come to and I go,
what was I doing?
This is humiliating. Everyone just go back to bed if you could. Posey wasn't even in the room. She was in the next room. Then she woke up later, like 2 hours later, let's say, and Hayden offers to put her back to bed after a feed. And he's sort of like rummaging around for her in the middle of the night in the dark. And he thinks that I'm Posey. And he tries to pick me up. He puts his hand underneath my underarms. Oh. And I'm trying to stay all calm and sleepy, and I'm just pissing myself as Hayden for a second nearly goes to put me back to my car.
You're like, dude, no.
Yeah, so some weird things were happening in our household last night. What are we talking about today? Is executive coaching worth the hype, or is it just hype? You're bringing that to me. And then after, how much praise is too much praise? How little is too little? Lozzie, our generation seems to overthink everything when it comes to parenting. A lot of it is for good reason, some of it's not. And today I want to talk about how exactly I instill just the right amount of confidence in my kids without going too far. Take it away, my friend.
The coaching price paradox, where world-class, proven business leaders like Martha Stewart, Kris Jenner, and top CEOs offer masterclasses for $29, yet self-proclaimed career coaches with questionable credentials feel justified charging $3,000 plus for repackaged advice. Where do I even begin on this? I'm so passionate about
it. Yeah, you look hot and heavy.
All right, so I want to preface it by saying, over the last probably year, or maybe since COVID, which was 5 years ago now. So over the last couple of
years. 5 years ago?
Was it?
Oh my God, it was.
Yeah.
No, I'm not questioning you. I'm just like, well,
yeah.
That's half a decade.
Yes. So over the last couple of years, I personally have seen an enormous spike in what I would call executive coaching,
yeah.
Right? Alongside courses associated with these types of coaching, most of which are hideously expensive. So we're talking thousands of dollars. I also do want to preface it by saying I have attended some of these.
So you've paid thousands.
So me personally, no, but workplaces that I have attended, yes.
Yeah.
I also do know some like extended friend network people who are executive coaches mm-hmm. and who are very good.
Yeah, so, some are good. Yeah. Let's just say at the top, if you're a coach listening to this,
absolutely,
you're probably great.
Exactly. But I wanted to start off with some stats around this because, you know, I love a bit of data. The executive coaching industry has experienced significant growth in recent years. So as of 2025, the global coaching market is projected to reach approximately $7.31 billion.
Beg your pardon? I'm in the wrong industry. I can't even say the word.
Yeah. Up from around $6.25 billion in 2024. This expansion is accompanied by an increase in the number of active coach practitioners worldwide. And a study by the Institute of Employment Studies reported an 89% effectiveness rate for career advancement through executive coaching. So what I'm going to say on that is there is absolutely no denying, like the stats say and prove that if you do have an executive coach, the likelihood is it might be
effective. There's
some
brilliant ones out there. They're doing some good things.
For sure. But where my gripe comes in is the absurdity of pricing in coaching. let's start with this. You can take, this is no word of a lie, a $29 masterclass from Martha Stewart on building a brand, and she is a brand master. You can also take a $29, less than 30 bucks, that's masterclass cheap, from Kris Jenner on personal strategy. Or you can even take a class from a former Apple CEO on leadership. All of these, less than 100 bucks.
Wow.
And these are people that have done it. You know, they've been there. They're not peanuts.
Oh, Kris Jenner has built a brand.
She has, absolutely. But at the same time, you also have these career coaches who I'm starting to see more and more and more of on Instagram, and they are charging upwards of $3,000 for a course that talks about how to be more confident at work.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not dissing that you need confidence at work. Like, let me tell you,
you
absolutely do.
Maybe the price tag isn't $3,000.
Exactly. So what do you think of these coaching ads? I'm kind of keen to understand your whole take on it. Are you ever tempted personally to take them, or does it set alarm bells off for you?
Oh, part of me feels sorry for the ones that are actually doing the Lord's work and are actually worth it and are qualified. It's a bit like the wild, wild west out there in the world of online coaches. Like,
yes,
I am being fucking spammed with everything from MLM type content coaching,
yep,
to actual executive leadership coaching, as you're more talking about today.
Yep.
I feel bad that you sort of don't really need anything, right, to say that you're a coach. So the
it's
ones that are
completely unregulated.
Yeah.
Completely unregulated.
So the ones that have a master's in something to do with the idea of coaching, I can't even think what that would be, they're qualified, but someone else can just come and be a career. You and I could be career coaches tomorrow. I've interviewed over 100 working mums. I could coach you how to be the best working mum possible. Let me tell you, I cannot.
You're still trying
still
to work it out.
I fucking know nothing. That's why we're sitting here today. So I do feel sorry for those people that are actually good at their craft, because the rest of the organisation or the rest of the industry are dragging those fuckers, those poor fuckers. I've sworn so much today, I'm so sorry. They're dragging them right down.
They are.
Probably 90% of the market. 10% are probably good.
And I'm going to sound sexist, sorry. I'm going to sound ageist here. I have, and this is slightly controversial, I have a bit of a problem with people that are super young calling themselves executive coaches.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Babe, what are you coaching in?
Yeah.
How many jobs have you had? How much experience? Now, I will also
especially in coaching, because it's around leadership and building all of those things, right?
Exactly right. But I will also say, like, okay, the founder of Twitter was a billionaire at 24. Would I take some advice with him? Like,
maybe.
Yeah, probably would, yeah. Yes. So it's like not the rule for everyone. But when I see men or women, predominantly men, I'm going to say, under the age of 30, doing executive coaching that maybe haven't owned their own business,
yeah,
haven't worked as a CEO, haven't been in executive leadership,
haven't led
team,
a big team. Yeah,
no,
exactly.
I'm like, I feel like you need a bit more experience to be able to say that you're an executive coach.
Totally.
Like, what are you selling?
I'll give you an example of this. Not that I gave much advice in early motherhood, but I think it would be interesting listening back on some of my reflections of motherhood as a very early mum compared to now. Because, you know, when someone talks about something, and we've talked about the just you wait and how toxic it is, but you do in your head go, just you wait, darling.
Yes, you do.
It's going to get a bit different from here. And that relates to this to me, because it's like, babe, if you're 25, unless you are the billionaire, you probably don't have much experience.
I know, but there's so many of them. So I want to understand too, why do you think people are paying thousands for the basics? And this is another kind of gripe I have. Much of what these high-priced career coaches teach, so like negotiation skills, personal branding, networking, these can be found for free, aka you
can
listen to us.
Thing.
Not that we're saying we're experts, but you can listen to a bunch of different podcasts. There's LinkedIn articles, there's books.
Yes.
Like, you know,
like if you want to go looking for it, you'll find it. It'll take more effort, but it will be there.
There's so much content.
Yeah.
And I know you're not a big one for ChatGPT, but there is also ChatGPT.
Yeah.
There is a million different ways that you can gather all of this content for free. So unless you're giving something that's personal experience based,
yes,
that is so unique to something that you've learned on the job,
yeah,
I find it baffling.
Or you're the founder of, as you say, like a really big organization that's done.
Unless you've
unique.
Lived and breathed it, you've walked in those shoes.
Yeah.
I find it quite baffling how the average day Joe is packaging up this free content and on selling it to people and charging a high price tag for it. Like, what are you getting in return?
Yeah.
Tell me that you couldn't get for a much lower price tag.
You probably could. It would take a lot more effort. So if you're a time poor person, then you're ripe for paying this amount, aren't you?
Are you though?
Some people would be. I mean, if the people are doing it, I'd love to know how many people are selling these expensive courses.
Okay, so here's another question for you. I keep saying $3,000 because from my research, I reckon they all range from around that $2,500 to around, I want to say, like $4,000. I've seen very few for under $1,500 unless they put that big like line through it and they're like reduced rate for leadership. I'm like, Matt,
you're like, it's what not are a physical product. This reminds me of actually when I used to buy ad spots when I worked as a marketing manager and they'd be like, oh, we're going to slash the price off you. I'm like, darling, it's not a physical product that you've had made.
Yes.
There's no RRP.
Exactly.
You just said it. It's random.
So let's just say that someone's got a couple of grand to invest in their career. So they've put that money aside or there's like a company pool or whatever, like a stipend. Where would you tell them to spend it?
Oh,
or where would you spend it?
Where would I spend it? Hmm. Do you know where I would spend it? And
don't
maybe,
say on clothing. Are you going to say that?
No. I would spend it on clothes that made me feel empowered. No, I'd be fucking tempted. But it probably bleeds into what you're saying. Do you know what I would like to do is work with a mentor? Is that the same thing? So like, for example, Jessica Hatzis, who's a mum and who started Frank Body and Willow and Blake.
Yes.
She's now stepping into consulting. If I had some money and they were willing to pay her, I would love to listen to what she has to say.
Yes, but why? Because of lived experience,
yes,
right?
Yes, because she's had a unique experience.
100%.
And she's a mum, so she gets the phase of life I'm in. There's a lot of reasons. But, yeah, as you say, it comes back to, yeah, I'm not just going to buy it off the internet of someone I don't know. No way.
No, but are you going to spend all of your money on that? So if you've got a pool of a couple of $1,000, is it all going to go into that? I want to know how you'd break it down.
I reckon I'd try and find some sort of retreat overseas and spend it on that. Is it in Seville, Spain? Yes.
Maybe.
Is it in some? Yes. Is it $5,000? Yes. And I will go to that. Might take Jess with me to mentor me on that trip.
Okay, nice. I like that. Here is how I would do it.
Which is slightly different.
But here's a different way of looking at it. If you've got a couple of grand to spend and you, like me, keep getting spammed by coaches, executive coaches, leadership, I always feel like it's at a time too when you're job hunting. I mean, not
yes. Well, because you're vulnerable then. It's almost like that MLM conversation with mums that are returning to work.
Yes. So I'm not job hunting at the moment, just FYI. About to birth. And I love my job.
About to birth and burst.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say burst.
No, and I do love my job. But I would also say it's like the algorithm knows. When you're job hunting, when you're on mat leave, when you...
I swear to God, it gets inside you. Like there must be a chip in my brain. I'm not even searching this shit and my algorithm knows what to serve me.
It absolutely knows. But for me, things that I think would be really worthy of that money, and everyone is different, is you could do something like formal education or industry-specific training. So if I'm a marketer, for example, which I am, I could do General Assembly courses. I could do a Google course on digital marketing. I can do anything that's probably not going to cost me more than $1,000.
And a bit more like a specialized thing that you're learning, like
100%.
A skill to add to your sort of list of skills.
Absolutely.
That's actually, now that you say that, that's probably what I would do. It'd be like get up to speed on what it actually means to work in social media in 2025 or something
or
like that.
Or something, right? That's really specific, like it's a niche skill that you might need to develop your career.
Yeah.
I'd probably spend around $500 to $1,000 on networking and personal branding. So going to summits, I think, is a really good one. So instead of speaking to one person.
Future Women Summit, I'd love to go to that one day.
Exactly. You get to hear from like a panel of experts. You also get to meet and network with a bunch of other women, which is so important, obviously, to expand your opportunities. Other things that I think are great is that you could do more tactical ways of updating your CV. So perhaps you subscribe to like a LinkedIn premium service. I mean, what's that, $90 or something?
It is bloody expensive though. They always try to get me back to premium. I used to be.
It's pretty good. If you're job hunting, it's good.
Yeah, okay.
If you are job hunting, it is good. And then maybe, do you know what? I'd almost say.
You'd come to Seville with me, wouldn't you?
I mean, I would almost say if one of the things that you're struggling with is confidence, negotiation, influence, you know.
Standing up for yourself. Blah,
yeah,
blah,
not
blah.
Like industry-specific skills or like more, they're not soft skills. I don't know what I'd call them. But if you're worried about things that.
Like a sort of intangible skills almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with seeing a psychologist and being like, hey.
Like it.
For under $500 an hour, could we have a couple of sessions on like tactical ways to implement.
Yeah. And
you know,
like, where does
this
come from? Like, for example, that situation that we had the other day, which we're going to talk about on next episode.
Yes.
Why did that make me like nervous and a bit sort of, you know, vulnerable? And you were like, oh, this is not an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, each to their own, but my kind of final thought on this whole coaching topic, and I am quite passionate about it because I've attended some courses that have been so bad and
interesting.
Such a waste of company money, not even personal.
Yeah.
And it's just, I feel like it's getting worse. So my final thought on this is, if Martha Stewart can sell courses for less than $30, what is the excuse for self-proclaimed experts or executive coaches to be selling their courses for thousands?
Oh, you've got me stumped. That is food for thought. I'm going to have to think about it. I recently came across a clip with Elizabeth Olsen, so the little sister of the twins, who's becoming very famous in her own right, and I really like her, about external validation. And it got me thinking about how much discourse there is now around how we should and shouldn't praise our kids. In this world of modern parenting, as I said before, we do sometimes go a bit too far. Would you agree? Do we overthink everything?
There's a lot of opinions on praise, discipline, and parenting styles in general, I would say.
So bless our souls, we do overthink everything. But first, here's what Elizabeth Olsen had to say.
A very healthy relationship with not relying that much on the validation of others.
Was that always the case for you, though, even when you were younger?
I think it has to do with there being so many kids in a house. There's six of us in my dad's house and four in my mom's. I mean, I got like encouragement. That was like, you know, your team won, or like, good job. Like my mom telling me that my arms were nice in the ballet performance I did. But it was never exhausted, like out of place, exaggerated.
It felt real. It was authentic.
And it was specific and honest. And so I think I don't expect potentially that from people. Maybe there's a self-love issue in there for me, not one to one validation.
Well, that you are fine, that you're filled up and you don't
need
it.
Maybe it's healthy. Yeah,
I think it's super healthy.
Okay. I don't have Instagram. I don't engage in a public facing way. I do think that creates a need for other people's approval and validation. That if we were to live our lives without, we would have less of.
You seem altogether balanced and together, my dear.
So the reason this clip stood out to me is I have a very specific memory of a mum who is my friend's mum, but also my mum's friend. So you understand?
Family friend.
Yeah. They call them family friends. That's how you don't say what I just said.
That's how I approach it.
Yeah. So she was the sort of mum that absolutely big-noted her kids, praised them, would tell you when they came first in cross-country, all of that stuff.
Yes.
Now, my parents weren't like that. They were very much, good on you. You're enjoying doing that. You did well. We will celebrate you, but we won't go too far. So I feel like that's why it stood out for me. And firstly, how do you think praise was received and given in your household when you were younger?
My household was probably more focused on academic results, if I'm honest. So if you did really well academically, there was like high praise.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call us a sporting family.
No, I definitely wouldn't call you a sporting family.
So don't really know that I got any praise for that. But it wasn't, I mean, it was something that was just kind of given.
Yeah. It was a good on you vibe, not like you're the most intelligent person I've ever met.
Absolutely not.
So we know that overdoing the external validation thing isn't good for kids. Like there's a lot of discourse about it. But sometimes I also think we overthink this shit and that there has to be a balance of somewhere in the middle. So my question to you, in this day and age, how on earth do we praise our kids just enough to make sure that they build inner confidence, inner self-love, and not too much that they start to always seek external validation? This is especially rampant and a challenge for us when our kids are going to grow up in an age where they measure themselves through likes, follows, comments, retweets, even if that's a fucking thing. That was probably more our generation.
Yeah.
So how do we find the balance between giving them some love but helping them build their own inner strength to decide how they validate themselves?
I don't know the answer to this. Obviously, I'm not an expert in parenting. I'm still trying to
I'm an executive coach of parenting.
I think it depends on your child. So I have two very different personality kids. I have one that is slightly more sensitive, that probably needs more encouragement and probably needs more praise, if I'm honest, to help her build confidence. And
that's Sienna.
I think it's Sienna.
Interesting. I was actually thinking the other way around.
In some ways, because she's so sensitive.
Oh, but then I've got someone.
Yeah, I've got someone like Zave, who is like your quintessential boy, and he really needs validation in terms of like watching him do something.
Interesting. So he does almost look for that sort of sport type praise.
Well, he'll say, watch me, watch me. And I'm like, okay, so I'll watch him.
And you'll be like,
well done.
The way you threw that ball was
great.
Unbelievable.
Exactly. But I think different personality kids need different praise at different times.
So what sort of things, if Sienna's done something she's proud of, how do you respond?
Oh, I love this question. You've seen this meme, haven't you? Where it's like, I knew you would say this. It's where it goes, oh, I'm so proud of you. And then they're like, no, no, we should reframe it and say,
you should be
so proud of yourself.
Yes. And the mum's so overwhelmed. She's like mental load list a million miles long. And she's fucking worrying about saying like, you should be proud of yourself.
Why are we worrying about this stuff? It's ludicrous.
I actually do this though. I always go, are you proud of yourself? You should be so proud of yourself.
That's so funny. I think I just say well done or good job.
Yeah. Like, you led me beautifully to that meme. So now I have a game for you.
Okay.
I've pulled out a list of praising your kids' do's and don'ts from the internet. I'm going to read a few out to you and I want you to tell me if it's from the do or the don't list.
Okay.
What an awesome painting.
Do?
Don't.
What do you mean?
How is that a don't?
Why?
I don't know. The alternative, what you should do, is the colours you chose for the drawing are really beautiful.
Are you actually kidding?
That's too far in my opinion. We're taking things too far here.
Fuck me dead.
Okay, I've got another one. You did it.
Good. Do.
Don't. The better alternative here, Lozzie, is I've been watching you try to tie your shoelace for a long time now. It's tricky, isn't it? I'm so proud that you kept trying and didn't give up. And now you can do it.
But it's the same outcome. It's just more words. I don't have time for that.
And I
don't
think my 3-year-old is going to listen to that very lofty sentence. I think he just prefers
the,
you did
it. If I said that to either of my children,
Sienna would be like, oh,
Sienna would be like, why are you so boring? Spit it out.
I'll give you 2 more. You are such a great puzzle solver.
Do.
Don't. You
what
are good at trying
going on?
Different ways to solve a hard puzzle.
This is ludicrous. Who is saying this?
And 1 more for you, Lozzie. What an angel you are.
Don't.
You knew it. It's generous for you to share your cookie.
It's generous.
When I first Googled how to praise our children, this was the first thing to come up. And I think you and I resonate with this one a little bit more. A thumbs up, a smile, or a high five can be powerful ways to show your child you're impressed by their behaviour or efforts. I think I'm going to stick to the high five. I cannot be fucked with the rest.
Oh, I'm a thumbs upper for sure.
You are a thumbs upper. You looked good when you just did it.
Yes.
And on that note, sign us off, my friend.
Okay. If you have loved listening to today's episode, please leave us a review. Every review counts. And as always, follow us on readyornot.pod. See you next week.